Hello. Thank you for joining us on Live, Learn, Love, Lead, a podcast of Bethel Christian Church in Warren, Michigan. Our mission is to live in the power of Christ, learn to become like Christ, love as the family of Christ, and to lead others to Christ. This year, our aim is to grow in these four L's as we study through the Old Testament. Listen for this week's thoughts.
Welcome to Live, Learn, Love, Lead, the weekly podcast of Bethel Christian Church. I'm Pastor Farina.
Hi, this is Danielle Hudson. Thank you for joining us. We are getting near the end. We are on the bottom shelf of our bookshelf, Pastor. This shelf is called the Minor Prophets, not because they're any less important, but just really because they're shorter overall compared to the other prophets that we just got through. And so there are 12 books in this category of minor prophets. They historically, they were all one unit called like the 12 prophets. And Josephus, the historian from Israel, Augustine, an early church leader, both talked about those books of the one unit of the 12 prophets. And so this is what we're going to end our year with, these minor prophets. These 12 books cover, though, a period of 400 years. So it's about 800 years before Christ to 400 years before Christ. And it covers a lot of history from the Assyrian Empire conquering Israel, and then Babylon conquering, and then the Persians. So there's, and then them returning home back to Jerusalem after the exile. So there is a lot of history, and we'll try to give that background to you over this next month or so as we get to them. And it's a mix of audiences. So some's to Israel, some's to Judah, some's to their enemies or to nations surrounding them. So we'll get to all of that as we go, but just the overall picture of this type of literature. So this week, though, we are going to read Hosea and Joel, the whole books. And so we'll start looking at Hosea. This was written around 760 BC. So in our mind, historically, that's the same time that Homer was writing the Iliad and the Odyssey in Greece, the same time that Rome was being founded. And this is happening. Hosea is prophesying in the final years of the northern kingdom in Israel. He's preaching in the capital of Samaria, and Israel is getting ready to fall to Assyria. He's warning people of their sin and their coming destruction, and it's a really interesting story. God actually asks Hosea to go and marry a prostitute. And so you want to pick up from there?
Yeah, well, so interesting. What's amazing about these minor prophets is they're people too.
Yeah.
And there are stories behind them. You know, everybody has a story.
That's good.
And God cares about our story, not just what we do, not just his prophecies, but his story. And that's what we're going to focus in on with the book of Hosea. In chapters 1-3, really gives us the background and the story of the life of Hosea. God tells him to marry a prostitute. Now, you know, we could get into a lot of different things. As a pastor, I've counseled people getting married and so forth. And obviously you want to be linked together spiritually and be on the same page spiritually and financially, emotionally, and compatibility-wise in relationship. And listen, this doesn't mean we should read this and say God wants us to go out and find somebody and to save them, we have to marry them and to bring them to Jesus. That's not the point of that.
Right.
But God does tell him to marry that, and there was a specific purpose in it. And he goes and he marries her, and they have three children together. Things seem to be going all okay, and then she becomes unfaithful. She has an affair with another man, and she leaves Hosea and the three children. It sounds like a movie that you would see on television or in the theater. And then what happens is the man that she has the affair with, he gets tired of her, and that relationship doesn't work. And he, and again, it's the context of that culture, he sells her as a slave. Women were considered property at that time, and that's an awful thing, and we don't want to go down that road either. But the point is that he then sells her into slavery and puts her on an auction block. And then God speaks to Hosea and says, now I want you to go buy her back. I want you to purchase her and bring her back, not as a slave, bring her back into your home as your wife and love her again. Chapter 3, verses 1-3 is a beautiful passage that says, God tells Hosea, love her with the love of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can do that. Listen, here's a man who just had to be crushed.
Right.
He first of all, he didn't know why he had to marry a woman with the past that she had. And then he marries her and she leaves him and he's hurt. He leaves him with children. You can imagine the human side of this. And then for God to say, then go back and buy her back and redeem her and then love her again and bring her back and restore her into the marriage. And Hosea obeys the Lord to his credit, and he goes. And the Bible says for 15 pieces of silver, he purchased her back and some barley and some crops. And he brings her back and he restores her. And he says to her, you will always be mine. And I have loved you with the love of the Lord. Now, we look at this and we can see the human side of it. Now, there's obviously a spiritual application here. Mm-hmm. It's God talking about Israel, his people, and then, of course, the New Testament church and us, that we and our sins needed to be redeemed. We had a checkered past. Mm-hmm. We lived in sin just like Gomer, and we've been unfaithful to God. And even us as believers, when we sin and mess up and make mistakes, we're unfaithful to God. We need to know that he's always there to love us, and he's always there to redeem us, and he's always there to forgive us, and he's always there to restore us back into right relationship. Mm-hmm. That's the big picture of this, and that's the spiritual application to that. And I think that needs to be stressed, and that needs to be emphasized. And God was showing Hosea through his prophecy that that's going to be the message of his prophecy. You're going to tell the nation, even though you've been unfaithful, even though you've been wrong, even though you sin, God still cares about you, loves you, forgives you, and will restore you. And that's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. You could see the 15 pieces of silver links to the 30 right. pieces of silver. Jesus redeemed us back. He came. It's the gospel story, and it's a wonderful story, and it's a powerful story. That's why God did that in Hosea's life. And he prepared him for his message by him having to live that experience. Now, saying that, we bring it into the practical realm. I want to be careful that we realize that this is not a word for all of us and how we should live our life. And I also want to say something about the fact that this relationship failed and there was unfaithfulness and God told him to restore back. I want to be careful. We need to be careful in this passage because relationships are complicated, and I'm not suggesting that every relationship, that if someone cheated on you or someone's been unfaithful to you in a practical sense and in a family sense, or someone's left you, and I'm not suggesting that everyone has to do what Hosea did. Okay, I want to make that clear. Again, the bigger picture is the spiritually. However, I do want to also say that God's heart is always to bring restoration. Mm-hmm. God's heart is always to love. And I think we should always try and do everything within our power if a relationship has failed and in a situation like this and we've been hurt, and even if we've been the one wronged, that our heart should be that we should at least ask God to help us to try to restore. Now, does it always work? No. And I don't think we can make a blanket statement. I don't think anyone who's been through that and maybe the relationship didn't work and they had to move on in their life, that doesn't mean you did anything wrong or against the Bible. That's not saying that. And then there are others who have done that where they have been, someone has been unfaithful to them and some situation didn't work and God did help them and did restore marriages. Mm-hmm. So I've seen both ways. I just want us to be careful right. that we don't read more into this than we should, but always know this, that if a relationship has failed and it's going to work, it's going to take the love of the Lord. Yeah. It's going to take the heart of God. It's going to take a supernatural work of God in our heart to heal and mm-hmm. to help us. And we should always want that. Does it always work? No, but I think that's the heart of that. But think of it this way. God loves us today, and no matter what we've done and whatever's happened in our life, and maybe even if our relationships have not worked, know this. God cares about us today. God loves us. And God cares about our relationships. Mm-hmm. And he wants our relationships to work. He wants our relationships to be healed. And he will help us and do everything within his power if we will allow him to. But in some cases, it just doesn't work that way. And God can still heal us and restore us in other ways. So that's a lot to say. And I feel like it's important because this is real stuff.
Yeah.
This is real life stuff. It may have happened hundreds of years ago, 1,000 mm-hmm. years ago, to a prophet, but it can happen even to good people, mm-hmm. and people within sound of my voice have been through the hurt. Matter of fact, I just dealt with a situation last night with a person that had been crushed because of a fact of a relationship. And all I could tell them was that, look, God loves you and we're going to pray for you. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God does still love you and he cares about you and he cares about your relationship. And we'll just leave it up to God to see what he wants to do. And so my heart goes out to those that have had those kinds of experiences, but know that God is with you still. He has a plan for your life. He can heal. He can help. He can restore. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work out, he has something even better for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, good. I think it's just the amazing thing that we're going to see a pattern through these minor prophets is that there's hard things that they go through. There's hard things that the nation goes through, but there's always this message of hope and the love of Christ.
Yeah, this stuff, real life stuff happens to good and godly people. We shouldn't beat ourselves up if we're going through something and think, well, what's wrong with me? And how come God allowed this to happen to me? And listen, life happens and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And even a prophet like this had to face that. And even good and godly people today are struggling in some of real life stuff. And God knows the hurt and there is hope and there is healing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Let's transition to Joel. And so he's prophesying not too far from the timeline of Hosea. He's 800 BC, but he is not in Israel. He's in Judah. And what he's dealing with, one of the things he's dealing with is there's a plague of locusts and enemies will come and devour our lives. So we'll come. If there's locusts, we're not too familiar with like farming in our culture right now. But if there's a plague of locusts, they come and devour all the crops, which means that's their food, that's their income, that's what they would trade. So it was just sort of an all-out attack in all parts of their lives. And so he's talking about this and he's encouraging the people to repent. And so it's just hard things that they're dealing with. And I want to read this passage or this, a little paragraph that I read in my studies. It says, almost every generation has one major historical event that impacts their lives, a war, a natural disaster, a recession, or an assassination of a national or religious leader. The people of Judah experienced a natural disaster, a plague of locusts that destroyed their lives. The hardships of such catastrophes are undeniable, but they should not define our lives. How wonderful it would be if Christians made a miraculous blessing from God their special remembrance to pass down from generation to generation. That felt very timely.
That's good.
And so I think like we can take this as we're reading Joel, as we're reading about the plague of locusts. Obviously, there's lots of hard things in these last couple of years and on a national and global level, but also in our lives and the consequences of that, right? The families would lose, the individual families, not just the nations lost their harvest. And so as we look at Joel and as we read through Joel, be encouraged about the message that there is an ultimate hope. There's one, a hope that sort of transcends our circumstances.
Yeah, that's really good. And again, Joel is facing real life stuff.
Yeah.
This swarm of locusts, yes, was figurative as well, speaking of armies that were coming to attack them. War talks about a devastation of their crops. It talks about a devastation of their livelihood, their economy, pandemic, so to speak, of sickness around the thing. And what's interesting, if in chapter 1, verse 12, in that end of that verse, it kind of sums up all that they were going through, and it says, because the joy had withered out of the hearts of the people.
Wow.
And you know what? When we get overwhelmed with problems and pain and struggle and life stuff, we lose our joy, we lose our hope, we lose our, and I love that passage you read, because sometimes life sucks the life out of us, but we thank God that there is hope. And what's interesting is then he transitions to chapter 2.
Yeah.
There's the problem, there's the devastation, but then here comes the restoration.
Yeah.
We see devastation, but now restoration, just like with Hosea, with Joel. And so the joy had withered, they were under this attack and all these things going on. In chapter 2, God tells them to blow the trumpet in Zion, to call a fast, to call a prayer, gather the people, to cry out. I love verse 17, let the priests and the ministers and all of the people cry out between the porch and the altar. It says to gather everybody, even the children, the youngest children, even those who got married. When you got married, you were given some time to stay away from the temple just so that you could spend time. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to do the other things because you were to work on your relationship. But he says, this is too critical. Even those who were just recently married, you got to come and pray too. Everyone, the children, the priests, everybody need to cry out before the porch and the altar. And you know what, Daniel, I so strongly believe we are at a time and a place when we are so frustrated and there's so many things going on in our world and things are crazy, that really that's what we need to do. We need to call people together. We need to call people back to God. We need to call people back to cry out to God between the porch and the altar. Only God can solve these big problems. Only God can change the hearts. Only God can turn around these bad situations. And when the people prayed, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord spoke and God gives them five promises, five I wills. He said, if you will pray, if you will call on me, if you will blow the trumpet, if you will fast, if you will rend your heart and not your garment, if you will return back to me, if you'll do that, I will do this. And God gives them five I wills. He says, I will remove verses 19 all the way to verse 32 of chapter 2. He says, I will remove the enemy from your border. That's speaking of the army, invading armies. I will give you wine, oil, and corn. Those are the provisions to replace the crops that were destroyed. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. The things that were taken away from you, God will give you back in a greater way. And then he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and I will show you heaven in the heavens and on earth. I'll show you wonders and miracles. And that last part is what Joel speaks of in Joel, Acts chapter 2, that Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So it was prophetic for them, but it was also prophetic for us in the future. And listen, I believe God still wants to remove enemies from our borders. God still wants to give us the provisions we need. God still wants to restore the years the locust has eaten. God still wants to pour out his spirit and show us wonders and miracles. But we have to return back to him. We have to repent and we have to cry out to him and we have to get between the porch and the altar. We've got to get to God's house and we've got to pray and seek his face. And if we'll do that, God will honor his word, because there is restoration even in devastation. Mm-hmm. That's the message of Joel. And that was the prophecy of Joel, rallying the people back and getting them to cry out to God, and then God doing what only God can do.
Mm-hmm. And he gives hope. He gives restoration.
Yeah. So today, I think both Hosea and Joel, as we pray and as we end, tell us that no matter what we face in real life stuff, whether it's personal or whether it's nationwide or whether it's worldwide, that there's hope and there's restoration in God if we'll return to him, come to him, repent, and pray. And today, if you're going through something, just cry out to God today. Repent, turn to him. That's not a bad word. That just means turn from the direction you're going and go back to God. And in returning to God, say, God, I need your help. I call on you, and I'm believing you for great things. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you that your word is honest to tell us that life happens to all of us, even good and godly people, on a personal level, on a national level, on a worldwide global level. But Lord, no matter what the devastation, no matter what the problem, thank you that there's restoration in Jesus Christ. And so Lord, I pray that you would call your people back to you, call your people back to your heart and your house, and call your people back to the altar to pray and to cry out to you. And if there's someone within sound of my voice that's going through a hurt and a devastation, maybe it's personal, maybe it's as real as what Hosea went through, and there's pain of a broken relationship, I pray, Lord, that either you'll restore that relationship or you'll restore their heart and give them even more than what they've had before. And I pray for this country and for the world and all that's going on, Lord, that people all over will rise up and return back to you. And as we return back to you, you will heal our land and you will restore what is happening in our world today and bringing it back to the glory and the honor of God. We thank you, Lord, that there is hope even and restoration even in devastation. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit us at bethelchristian-mi.org or find us on social media. To stay updated on upcoming episodes, please consider subscribing to the podcast. We pray you will be empowered to live, learn, love, and lead in the power and love of Christ.